Broadcasting worldwide on internet radio.
Refreshing takes on legal strategies.
Straightforward answers to difficult tax questions.
Independent ideas on building wealth. The Refresher Wealth Show with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen.
Previously recorded with Mark as the host of The Mark Kohler Show.
Enjoy this fresh take on strategies to better live the American dream.
Welcome, everybody, to today's show. My name is Mark Kohler. Excited to be here with you today. Another beautiful fall morning. Just got to love this time of year. And welcome. Any new listeners, excited to have you here. I'm Mark Kohler, your host, an entrepreneur, real estate investor myself, as well as CPA and attorney with an incredible team working behind me at KKOS Lawyers and K&E CPAs, serving clients nationwide. We're going to be here every week. I'm excited. We're about a special announcement coming up soon. We're going to have like the 300 and the 300th radio show broadcast of my show, and it's something that's a big milestone for me. I've been doing this show for over 5 years, and we're really excited about that. So we'll do a little announcement. I think that date will actually end up being in January, so we'll have kind of a big deal, a bunch of giveaways, make it fun. But 300 shows, can't believe it. So thanks to all of you that catch the show on podcast, listen after hours, returning email at night on your treadmill, and I'm really grateful that many of you find this valuable. I work so hard to try to find some good guests and good content for each show, and today's going to be no different. We've got an incredible guest joining us later in the hour. I'll introduce her shortly. At the bottom of the hour, we'll be having her on, and we're going to be talking about being inspired and inspiring our customers, inspiring our employees, and getting that mojo back in our business sometimes. And I know that sounds like a fluffy topic, but I promise you it's going to be well worth it. I've got some big questions I want to ask our guests as I try myself to stay motivated each week and excited about my business. So we'll be having that conversation here in just a few moments. Now, until then, I usually take a few moments to talk about the newsletter that went out late last night or early this morning, as the case may be, and talk about some deadlines and some important little notes from the newsletter. Now, I'm a little frustrated because when I send out a newsletter and my email goes out to thousands of followers around the country, I hate it when my own email goes into my junk. I got junk email from myself. You know, isn't that ridiculous? But I think the problem is today, and some of you are going to have to look in your junk email, is that I use the word red hot in the subject line because I call them red hot articles. I don't know what I was thinking. It was the middle of the night. Give me a break. But whenever you put the words red hot in a subject line, even if you don't have the word bodies after it or some sort of pornographic reference, you're going to get bumped to junk email, I think. So anyway, I want you to know that the only thing red hot here is the tax and legal strategy, but you might have to go to your junk email to get today's newsletter. So just FYI. Now, in the newsletter today, I was really excited about one of my articles that I wrote. Matt Sorensen, of course, contributes an excellent article each week. He's my partner in the firm. He wrote an article on UBIT tax, UDFI tax, in real estate investment trust. Now, that's a very, very specific type of article, very, very technical. But for some of you that are investing IRAs, you're going to want to read that. I wrote two articles today for my blog, which I think were kind of fun. The first one's an easy one that all of you should be taking advantage of, and that is the home office deduction. And there's a new home office deduction strategy that the IRS instituted this year. So I referenced that in the article. I talk about the myth that the home office deduction is an aggressive strategy. Please don't buy into that. It's a great little article on home office. So check that out in the blog on the newsletter. And then the article that I was really excited about was I wrote something on limited liability, limited partnerships. They're called LLLPs. And a lot of the self-professed gurus and asset protection shops out there, for lack of a better word, these sweatshops, the call centers that are just selling asset protection and playing lawyers on the phone with no degree or qualifications, they love to sell these cool new acronyms, LLLPs, or you need a series LLC in this state, and this and this and that. And the brand new investor gets sucked into these, and they often pay exorbitant amounts for unnecessary entities. Now, the LLLP is now legitimized in 21 states. I talk about it in my book, Lawyers Are Liars, which I didn't talk about it a lot in the book because they really don't make a lot of sense for the most part to me. So I put my money where my mouth is and really lay out where I think the LLPs stand. And this is a great article, I think, for many of you that might be getting sold some elaborate asset protection. So check out that article. Kind of fun. Please, any of these articles, once you click on them, it goes to my blog, and you can share them on your social network. Send out a link to your friends and family, especially someone that might be getting sucked into something crazy. Just yesterday, and I even told the client I was going to talk about him on the radio show, of course without disclosing their name, but I had a call yesterday with a client that was sold this crazy Nevada setup from a very well-known corporate headquarters location in Nevada, if that doesn't give it away. And these poor folks had two rental properties, and they got sold, I got to get this straight, two corporations, two LLCs, an irrevocable trust, and a limited partnership. And they have a small business, but they also have only two rental properties. And they got sold this elaborate structure. And it was a fairly emotional call. It was really sad that they just in the last month had paid thousands of dollars to set this up. And they're like, Mark, can you explain why we did this? And I couldn't. And I said, this is not necessary. And they knew it. And they knew it in their gut. And they were really frustrated. So this happens all the time. And if you have friends or family that might be getting sucked into that, I just had a client, too, getting sold some Panama offshore structure. And it's just ridiculous. So be careful. Be cautious, my friends. And last week we talked about avoiding the scams, the top scams in the country. It's a great show if you haven't listened to it yet. Please go back into the iTunes history or Blog Talk series history and listen to the top scams in America today. And we highlighted that as one of them. A great conversation. But other than that, some good stuff. I talked about making sure you buy your rental property before the end of the year. My New York workshop this weekend has sold out. I'm so excited to be in Manhattan on Saturday for that. I love being in New York, so I'll be out on the street eating slices of pizza. If anybody's on the street, I'll buy you a slice right there on the spot. So if you catch me, you'll probably see me. It's not that busy on the streets in New York. You know, we'll probably bump into each other if you're in town, right? Well, maybe in Cedar City, but not, in New York, right? So anyway, but I'll be in New York. Reach out to me there if you're coming out for the workshop and say hi off hours, and I would love to catch a slice of pizza with you. But the Orange County workshop, the 23rd, and Honolulu on the 7th, and we just announced today the live web broadcast for the recording as low as $79. You can listen live, watch live for $99. This is the same thing we did last year. You can get a continuing education certificate for watching live for those of you that need a certificate, and it's a tax and legal update for the year. So if you can't make it to Orange County on the 23rd or Honolulu on the 7th, you can still watch the web broadcast live, and you get a recording after of the broadcast. We're going to have two or three video cameras in the room. So check that out. So that's the announcements today. Make sure you're working on your health insurance. Big month. We're working on it at our office, too. The deadline's the end of the month for HSA plans and renewing your old plan and Obamacare deadlines. It's nutty. So get on your health care if you haven't already. So there's a few updates for you. Hopefully I touched on something that will impact you and save you a few bucks. But let's run over to our tax and legal tipsters. It looks like Lee Chen was the first to arrive in the studio here, so Lisa's got him queued up and ready to go. So Mr. Lee Chen, welcome to the show. Good to see you. How are you doing?
Hey, Mark. Hey, Mark. I'm doing great. Great to be on the show again.
Well, it's nice to have you here. And for those of you that don't know, this is a neat thing for me to see Lee hobbling around the office today. We had our company retreat in southern Utah this weekend. If those of you that were following Instagram saw some of the photos from the concert Friday night, Heart. It was awesome. I had my 80s rock on. And then, Lee Chen, you stayed there and did some hiking. So you did Zion's. And tell everyone the hike you did, because I just this morning had just a couple minutes with you. I was so excited to hear what you did.
Oh, yeah. This was on my bucket list, so I figured I would go and knock that off before I am not able to do it. It's one of their more strenuous hikes up there. It's called Angel's Landing, and basically it's about a four-hour hike up the side of a cliff. The last part of it, you're hiking on rocks and holding on to chains that they've drilled into the rock and just looking down at, I don't even know how high you are, but the view is amazing. I would really recommend if you're ever in the southern Utah area, spend a day, go up to Zion's. You won't be sorry.
Oh, wow. And it's a tax write-off because, folks, what you can do is stop in and see your tax and legal team on the way. We're only just an hour at most, 45 minutes from Zion's. And so come to southern Utah for a little winter trip. And it's a good time of the year to actually do it. Zion's doesn't get hardly any snow, and it's so hot in the summer to make that hike. So this is a good time of year to get down there. Well, Lee,
the weather was beautiful.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. It was just so pretty this weekend in southern Utah, 70 degrees and sunny and blue skies. So, well, Lee, what's our legal tip this week? What do you got for us?
Well, I was actually going to talk about something else, but you brought up the issue of the person that you spoke with all these LLCs and LLPs. And I'm wondering, have you ever spoken about buying corporations, shelf corporations for corporate credit?
Well, it's funny you bring that up. I know last week you were not able to catch the show. You were on the road, too, with this retreat. Jerem Bergeson and I brought it up, the shelf corporation strategy, last week, and cautioning people on this corporate credit shelf scenario. It's just very, very dangerous, not typically something a small business owner should be thinking about.
Absolutely. Perfect, perfect. So, okay, then what I want to talk about, because I've had this come a couple of these, and you know about them, are severance and separation agreements.
Ooh,
Yeah, and I'm just going to touch upon it. I mean, this is something that if you're an employer or an employee, you can both get some benefit out of it, depending on what your perspective is. You know, if you have somebody who's in a position of authority who is leaving, your organization, you might want to think about it. You know, if you're an employee or a president, shareholder, a partner, if they're leading a partnership, anything where there's going to be a separation of someone who's key, you might want to think about this. And it really, you can structure it so it protects both sides, both the company and the employee, if you, structure it right and include the right types of terms.
No, that's a great point. And I know that a lot of times, many of us already know, you're going to spend, I think the average, I just heard a quote last week, was that the new college graduate today in their career is going to change at least employment positions 10 times. Now, that's if they go probably the corporate W-2 route. Small business owners may have less volatility because they're going to maybe focus on their core business for years. But we all know that our grandparents grew up with the concept that they'd work for one, maybe two companies their entire lives. There's going to be a lot of transition here. So I like this this topic of severance packages, severance agreements, what are you entitled to, and making sure you're not getting the shaft on the way out the door. What are some things people should be looking at from the employer or the employee perspective, Lee? Is I know you've been working on several of these agreements recently.
Well, one of the first things from the employer side that they're usually thinking about is, we don't want you to come back and sue us, okay? And so there's always going to be some sort of release in there. But from the employee's perspective, you're going to want to, you know, think about, and a lot of these severance agreements, there's an issue of age discrimination or some sort of discrimination, if that, or, you know, some sort of whether the termination was lawful or not, something you want to think about. You know, if there's any sort of doubt in your mind as to the legitimacy of the termination, from either side, you should probably talk to an attorney because, you know, yep. You only get one bite of the apple for the severance agreement.
Yeah, and from the employer side, I want to point this out too. I know that many of you out there that have less than, I think the rule from where you really are exempt from a lot of the federal discrimination laws is under 25 employees. So the bulk of our listeners are going to be those small business owners that only have a few employees. So they can, I hate to say this, but you actually have carte blanche to be a little discriminatory. It really depends on the number of employees you have in your business on which federal laws might apply. But one of the ones that you cannot get around is the unemployment claims. And this can really impact your unemployment rate. So I hope you don't mind me bringing this up, Lee, too, because the small business owner may not be worried about hiring someone because they're old or young or they don't like the way they look, but they do have to worry about them making an unemployment claim that could impact their rate for many years to come. So I've been on both sides of this equation, and it's important that you make sure that when you are going to terminate someone for cause, that you're documenting it so that when the unemployment claim shows up at your desk 3 weeks later, you've got just a copious amount of notes to show the unemployment board that this person was terminated for a good reason and they don't deserve unemployment. And that's a great way to pad your file on your employees. If you have an employee that you do anticipate probably firing, you better start doing your paperwork now.
Right, yeah, and I was going to address the unemployment. Usually, you know, if you're going to fire someone, we're not talking about a severance. But if
right.
if you are an employer and you know you're wanting to separate on amicable terms, you want to make sure in that separation or severance agreement that it's clear that it was a voluntary, you know, termination, so that you're not getting hit with potential unemployment.
Yeah, no, great point. Now, from an employee standpoint, let's just look at this quickly, and then we'll move on here. Is Lee, I know that you've represented two of our clients that have corporate jobs, and just the last month, they were offered a big severance package. I know that you went through it in detail. I guess there's some important considerations from the employee side, in whether it's retirement plan elections or pay elections for tax planning. What tips would you give the employee that's looking at one of these?
Well, just generally some of the things that I look at, what's going to happen with the benefits, in particular right now, health care. Is there going to be continuing COBRA coverage or something like that? Also, what's the employee able to do after the separation? You know, some of these employees might have signed confidentiality agreements or non-disclosure agreements. Typically, there'll be those types of provisions in a severance agreement that says who can they contact, what can they do, what they can't do. Whether it's enforceable or not is a whole other issue, but that's something that we typically see. Is there going to be references? If the termination is, you know, if you're looking for another job, how is the prior employer going to treat referrals, or is there going to be recommendation letters or something like that? And the last thing I want to just add is always, you know, with any type of severance or any type of separation, you want indemnification, okay? You want to make sure that once I leave, if anything happens to the employer, that's on them and vice versa.
Okay. Gosh, good comments. Well, Lisa, I know that you've been knee-deep in that topic recently, so it makes sense that you're bringing that up. I always feel that there's a reason for these types of discussions we have on the radio show. And Lee, thanks for bringing that. We appreciate it. And, take lots of ibuprofen, stretch. I know you're sore from that hike, so hang in there.
Yeah, I think I need an ice bath.
Oh, ouch. I don't know. Oh, Lee, thanks so much.
Put that on your Facebook page.
Yeah, I don't Instagram me on that one. All right. Thanks, Lee. We'll see you in a few weeks or a month. Thanks so much for joining us on the show.
Thanks, Mark.
All right. Well, folks, as you know, here before we get to our primetime guest, we're going to wrap up with another tax tip, a weekly tax tip that hopefully can save you some big money. This is an important time of year to get your tax planning completed. We love the audience we have here of a lot of business owners, so it's important that we talk about this. So we get on a regular basis one of our CPA managers from the firm that we can have maybe 5 to 10 times a year join us, where it's always an honor. We've got Dustin Johnson on the line. Dustin, are you there?
I'm here, Mark.
Well, thanks, man. So we know you're a little busy with your tax planning calls around the country, but we appreciate you finding some time for us.
Oh, absolutely. No, we enjoy it. And, yeah, we are in tax planning mode. That's kind of what I wanted to bring up a little bit, too, talk about. But
well, hey, the floor is yours. What do you got for us this week? Wow us, my fine sir.
Well, I want to talk a little bit. You brought it up earlier about Obamacare. And one of the strategies that we need to look at and just make sure everybody's aware of are these two taxes that are coming on board and kind of the magical numbers that we need to avoid if we're single or married, so that we can not pay these taxes.
I like it. And this is, of course, a big topic I've been hitting on the webinars and the workshops that I'm doing around the country. Mm-hmm. Is a little breakout session on Obamacare. Whew, there's so much to it. So let's rifle shoot it here. What taxes do we want to talk about today? Tell us what we can avoid.
Well, I wanted to hit it, I guess, two ways. First of all, is possibly look at doing a little bit more withholding on our W-2s if you and your spouse are combined going to make over $250,000, to kind of compensate for that additional tax that's going to be incurred. Same for the Medicare tax on the investment income. If we know that our W-2s are going to be high enough, our AGI is going to be high enough, we may want to do a little bit more withholding to cover those, if that's typically how you as a taxpayer like to pay your tax. I know some people would rather go with the, I'll make my quarterly estimated tax payments or pay it all on April 15th. But, again, we don't like the shock factor of CPAs, where we tend to be more boring and we don't like those types of surprises. So I just wanted to bring that out.
Well, let me throw this out from a different angle, and this is important for everybody to listen to. Obamacare is going to be paid for with three or four mechanisms. The first one is getting healthy people to buy insurance that they don't need. So those extra premiums are going to go into the pool, if you will. Number two is to have this penalty instituted that if you don't buy insurance, this penalty is going to add some money to the bucket as well. Number three is that if you have big W-2s, you're going to pay this additional Medicare tax. But if you don't have big W-2s, but you have a lot of investment income, there's an investment income tax, about 3.9%. So this is how Obamacare is going to be, the wheels are going to be greased, is with these four types of revenue. So as small business owners, you've got lots of options to get around these. And when you can take the best of Obamacare and avoid the worst, you have what's called Kohler Care. What do you think, Dustin? Do you like that? It kind of got a ring to it. Kohler
Care. It's beautiful. Yeah, it is. That's beautiful.
So, Dustin, you're talking about the two taxes here, not the penalty, the requirement to buy insurance. You're talking about the Medicare tax, which is a function of W-2s. So for you out there that are a small business owner and running an S-Corp, are we ever going to have our S-Corp clients pay this tax?
No, we won't be looking at the Medicare tax. Absolutely not.
Gosh, I got so excited there. I teed that up for you.
I got
so excited there. You're
me up.
Dustin.
But we
sorry, I want to say this. I want to say this. I got so excited there. I teed it up for you, and you were just supposed to hit that huge home run. I was like, so I'm going to try this again, so get into it. Dustin, are any of our clients that ever have an S-Corporation going to pay this Obamacare tax on Medicare?
Never, Mark. We will avoid this at all costs.
There we go. I love it. Okay, sorry. This is an exciting moment. Got to get into this. No, this is great. For small business owners that have an S-Corp, you're not going to hit this, are you? Because you just said it. We're going to adjust their payroll, right?
I'm going to retract this just a little bit, because we do have certain clients that get a large W-2, but also have a large S corporation side business. So they may hit it depending on, you know, it's not just because this is 0.9% on the W-2. So if the goal is to put more money into retirement accounts and we need to fund it through this S corporation, we need to have some wages, I mean, it could make sense. That's where the tax planning and talking to us and running the numbers, we got to do it. So it's not the 9% that we're going to avoid it unless we can save taxes, more taxes in other areas. In the whole picture, we're saving taxes.
I like that. That's a great point because there's a lot of people out there that have a big W-2 in their family, whether it's husband or wife, and then they have the business on the side. And so they may be held back from limiting their W-2. Because for those of you, we have clients, you know, great corporate America-type jobs that have big W-2s. Fine, you're going to end up paying this. So be it. But if you are an entrepreneur, if you can control your payroll, this is a great way to do it. So now, the second tax you said was the investment income tax. So let's just quickly comment on that. Not every type of investment income is subject to this tax either. So this is where some planning can go some long way.
Exactly. And this is based more on your AGI, not your wages. So, I mean, if we can get some planning in and get your income below 200 or 250,000 AGI, you can save that 3.8% on your interest, dividends, rents, royalties, on that type of income and capital gains. So that's really where the tax planning is going to come in to save that surtax, that Medicare surtax.
Yeah, I like it. And here's another cool thing. S corporations, S is in small, S corporation dividends or pass-through income is not subject to the investment tax. And if we keep your payroll low in your S corp, you're not going to pay the Medicare tax. And if you buy high deductible, low premium insurance, you're going to be paying less than the average consumer for insurance and maybe even under a business type insurance policy. So that's my basic equation, that if the average small business owner can take advantage of those three or four strategies, oh man, you're going to avoid the worst of Obamacare and enjoy the best. So I love that you brought this up, Dustin. Any final words for us here? Any comments on anything else on this Obamacare you'd want to comment for folks?
Just remember ColaCare. Let's take the best and leave the worst there. So, no, it just, you know, a little bit of tax planning is going to go a long ways. And that I know you've talked about it. I just wanted to hit it again. I mean, a half an hour to an hour of our time is going to save you, could possibly save you if you think that you're going to be in this this window really of income. And if not, we can look at ways to avoid it with being real estate professionals and things like that. But
yeah, no, great comment. And in summary, I want to just say too, folks, the deadline for getting your insurance in place again is December 1st. So don't forget. Now, that's the deadline to renew your current policy if you want. Under Obamacare, you're not going to be penalized as long as you get your insurance by March of next year. But if you want to renew and keep the same plan you have now, your deadline's December 1st. So also, if you want to switch over to a health savings account type of plan, the deadline's December 1st. So, Dustin, thanks so much. We'll catch you hopefully one more time before the end of the year. Appreciate you coming on the show.
Perfect. No problem. Thank you, Mark.
All right, thank you. Well, folks, it is now time for the main event, our special guest, the topic of the hour, and we are so honored to have Eleanor Stutz with us. She is the author of several books, two international bestsellers already. Her newest book entitled Inspired Business, subtext, A New Vision for Building Business and Communities, Believe, Become, and Empower. I was really, myself, inspired, no pun intended, I was really inspired by her message, and I was very anxious to have her on the show, and it's an honor to have her with us. She's been, hailed as one of the top 25 motivational speakers of last year. She's runs her own consulting firm, speaks around the country, so it's an honor to have her with us. Eleanor, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you so much, Mark. It's an honor to be on your show, too.
Well, I noticed here in the studio that you got on the line a little earlier than you probably needed to, and I hope that maybe you yourself got inspired with some good little tax or legal tips. I appreciate your patience waiting on the line.
Absolutely, and I think you incorporate the core message of empowering others, especially with the new idea of Kohler Care. I thought that was wonderful.
Yeah,
you made a hit.
Yeah. The Congress isn't calling me yet, but we'll see. Maybe someday in the future. But let me introduce this topic a little further, Eleanor, because I have some important questions for you. And I really, as I mentioned to our listeners early on in the show, I think this is a more important topic than it's given credit. Because if all of you out there right now listening to the show, late at night, maybe on a podcast, driving down the road, you're on a treadmill, you're driving into work, and you're asking yourself, man, is this worth it? It's hard. And being an entrepreneur, you many, many times feel like you're on an island, and it's tough, and you're trying to make ends meet, and where's my next sale going to come from? And it's hard every day to get up and say, I'm inspired, let alone inspire your company, your employees, your staff, your customers. Even if you don't have a staff, it's just you. You got to get out and inspire others. Eleanor, this is a tough topic, is it not? Am I out in right field?
No, not at all. It's a very tough topic. And what I do and advise others to do is to make a positive mind shift for the better. And I had to learn to do that myself. And once you do feel inspired and enjoy each day far more greatly than you ever did before. And the way that I advise to do this is every time you catch yourself thinking negatively, document it, change it, document the change, state it out loud, and when you keep practicing this, pretty soon you're going to be thinking positively. It'll become natural. You just have to make a habit out of it. And the more positively you think, the more motivated you're going to be to keep on trying and doing better and bigger, et cetera. Make sense?
Okay, so let me restate this. So you alluded to the fact that it's a, and I don't mean to use a Christian reference, but I please forgive me out there for those that that may or may not agree with this, but it's almost like being born again in a sense. You're going to start fresh. You're going to be more inspired. But when you slip up and you're not feeling inspired, you state that not only is it that first mental shift, but it's an ongoing battle. It's an ongoing process of documentation. Is this journal writing? Are you keeping a journal in your business? Or how do you document this?
Well, initially, I think for a lot of people who think negatively, they almost have to keep a journal of what they're thinking, what they're saying. And as they catch themselves, they can make it a habit to think more positively. I know some people who only negative words come out of their mouth, and they seemingly are very unhappy people. But for me, I'll tell you what happened. I'm a rare survivor of a broken neck. That's what starts the story or the chapter in my book. But I had two visions come to me, and it was those two visions that made all the difference in the world as to how I was going to lead my life later on and develop business for the better. I was supposed to be best case paralyzed, and to everyone's astonishment, I walked out of the hospital in 4 days. So I became very, very happy from that point forward. Each day I can get out of bed and walk around or go to the gym, et cetera. And even if you seemingly have a bad day, such as the computer not working, it really isn't a bad day, thinking, you know, that I could have been paralyzed or dead, right?
Wow.
So that's how I learned to think positively.
But, well, it is interesting that
I was going to say, hopefully it doesn't take a broken neck for other people to catch on that thinking positively, you'll get a whole lot more accomplished.
Yeah. No, and I guess it doesn't have to be a physical broken neck. It can be an emotional broken neck. It can be a business broken, a financial, it could be a bankruptcy. Maybe going through that rebirth again of realizing that, hey, you know, things could be worse. And maybe that's what helps get us over that hump. Now, in your book, you talk not only about inspiring yourself. So that was our first point here, is that we need to stay inspired ourselves, but we also need to inspire others. And maybe we'll be coming back to our inspiring ourselves, but how do I get out there and inspire my customers in my business? And how do I get them fired up that, man, I got to have what Mark's selling? How does that work for the average small business owner to get that process going?
Okay, I do have a corporate sales background, and I used to take the opposite approach of most other salespeople. Once I crossed the threshold of walking into a company, it was no longer about what I was going to sell. It was about what the company needed. And I would do my research up front, research the website inside out and everything else I could find out about them. And then I'd go in and I'd ask them why they invited me in. That's a very key question, because it avoids all the BS that you might hear otherwise. People are extraordinarily busy today doing the jobs of two and three people. So if they invite you in for an appointment, they have to have a need. And when you question them on that, they're going to have to tell you what that need might be or what their problems are. So when you're at a client, you need to uncover everything that's bothering them and to figure out mentally before you say anything whether or not you can help them and what the better solutions might be. But listening is key to selling, believe it or not, and I don't believe most people know that.
How does being inspired or inspiring others relate to sales? I mean, is it that the emotional aspect of buying? Like, where does that inspired building my business with inspiration translate into sales? How would you articulate that?
Yes, I would say that people are so amazed that you're actually listening to them and trying to help them that they become extraordinarily happy working with you, and that they're excited to work with you, and that's when they say yes, because you took into account everything that was troubling them and you were going to help them fix their problems. I think that's the key difference between most salespeople.
Okay, I like it. Now, you talk about in the book, too, this community involvement and creating inspiring community around you. What do you have in mind there? Like, why is that? Why should I even be worried about the community? I guess I'm going to say that jaded and bluntly. Where does this fit into the equation?
Yeah, you know, something else that I needed to learn as an entrepreneur, it's not just about building your own business, but helping people around you. So we each have our core area of expertise. And as we're learning, being an entrepreneur, as you know, is always a commitment to self-education and getting help. But as you learn and you know what the best solutions are, help somebody coming up behind you, teach them. Post the information online. Go to community events. Be a mentor. In my own case, I would help groups of job seekers, teaching them how to sell themselves on interviews, because interviewing follows the sales cycle. And that was the first way I could think of that I could help people. And all of their thank you notes that they landed the job that they desired encouraged me after the market fell, about 9 months later, to publish the book, Hired, How to Use Sales Techniques to Sell Yourself on Interviews. So when you're giving back free of charge, helping people, they will recommend you, refer you, provide the testimonials. You'll gain a wider audience, and in the process, you may gain a bright new idea of how to monetize everything that happened.
Well, I love that, and I'm going to just speak on your behalf here, because what I liked about your book, and I think this is the point, is that people can feel that inspiration, and that's what the stories that you tell in your book really meant to me, is that, you know what I'm saying? People, you're out there listening to the show, and you know how it goes. There's people you can be around that just bring you down. Maybe it's not even what they're saying, but it's their mannerisms, and it's how they answer questions and make comments. They're just Debbie Downers, and I feel bad for all those out there that have the first name Debbie. But but those Debbie Downers, that you just feel it. And then there's, but then isn't it true? You go out there and you get around someone that just brings out the best in you. You just want to be around them. They're happy. They're excited. They're going somewhere, and you want to get on that train and go with them. You don't care where it's at. You just want to get on there. Where are you headed? I'm going with you. And to me, that's that essence of inspiration. That's the essence of being inspired. And I like how you're hitting these little buzzwords and bullet points, but I want to just say it from my perspective of bringing it together is that was what was cool about your book is how do you inspire someone? It's listening to them. It's talking in a positive manner. It's talking about what the potential is, not what the... And having those conversations in a very empowering way, people pick up on that, and they get inspired, and they want to drink what you're drinking. I don't know. Eleanor, did I say that acceptably? Because that's what I got out of your book and what you're trying to explain to people.
I greatly appreciate it. I'd love that in a testimonial when you have time. That was perfect. And I use the term in the book, too, magnetic communication, what hits what you were talking about. I would just think about going to a party. There's some people who are going to completely turn you off, yet others who attract you, and you want to find out more about them. And it's those who you are attracted to and who you will attract with whom you want to focus on doing business. And a key way to really get the conversation going and interest up is to ask, would you be interested in exploring ways in which we might help one another? Who's going to say no to that?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I totally get it. And I agree. And, you know, here's the one I want to share this for everybody out there, too. When I was a brand new lawyer, I'll say his name, Tom Higby. He was my mentor. He was the partner in charge. He went on to be a judge. And it had to have been the first day or two. It literally was the first day or two. I was a brand new young lawyer. I was waiting for my bar results from taking the exam. And he said, he pulled me into his office and he said, Mark, what charitable organization are you going to work in? And I said, what? Excuse me? And he goes, here in town, you're going to work with a charity. You choose. Or a fraternal organization. Are you going to go volunteer at the Rotary? You're going to work in the chamber? You're going to work in this charity or that charity? I go, well, I don't know. He goes, well, because we get involved in our community, and people need to feel that, and they're going to. And he didn't say this, but this is what he was indirectly saying is, people get inspired by that. People get inspired when you're out trying to make a difference, and that's that part of your book on that community aspect, where that volunteerism is again contagious, What was one of the stories there that you, I can't remember, that was on that community involvement that you felt, which just really gets that community inspiration going? Please, go ahead. I'm talking more than you. I apologize.
No. I met this woman when I first started business about 11 years ago. Her name is Valerie Bocage. She lost everything in Hurricane Katrina. I took her out to lunch just to get to know her, and she told me her vision. Most people would have thought that, you know, she had something missing upstairs, if you will, because she talked about her vision, even though she was penniless, that she saw herself developing a corporation to help women worldwide to become independent and thriving. And I'm thinking, how on earth is this woman who's almost penniless going to be able to do this? Well, 11 years, but there was something about her. She talked in a way that I had never heard before. And my skepticism turned into, she just might make it. And today, 11 years later, she's in many countries with Powerful Women International and has connections that are very, very impressive. And she's doing it. In fact, she's turning her own company into a corporation. She's getting a board of directors together now. It's highly, highly impressive. And she did it solely on helping women. That was the whole premise.
I love it. And, you know, let's go back to the topic of staying inspired ourselves, because I think this is you hit on that when you described your conversation with her, that you could feel her personal inspiration and how how excited she was about her own vision. So here's my suggestion to many of you out there listening. Ask yourself these questions. Are you inspired with what you're selling? Are you inspired with your business? Do you love what you do? Do you feel like it is impacting people in a positive way? Even if it's buying rental property and providing affordable housing for people, are you excited about that? Do you feel like you're making the world a better place? Folks, if you're not happy with what you're doing, how in the heck can you inspire others if you're not even inspired yourself? And I think it's so important that we have those soul-searching questions, and maybe we need to modify our business model. I mean, on a personal note, I love saving taxes. I love seeing people save money and protect their assets in a lawsuit. I love people building wealth. When they do that, they have less stress. They have better marriages. They have better kids. Doesn't mean they sip on margaritas on a beach somewhere and they're completely useless to society. It means they're more active in communities. They have time to be involved. And I love doing that. And I think many people feel that passion in me. And I just think it's so important that people are inspired themselves. And you brought that up, Eleanor, that it's that constant reaffirmation of staying away from the negative comments. What else can you do to stay inspired? What can you, if you're trying to find that mojo in you, what are some other suggestions? And I know you talk about them all throughout your book. How can you stay inspired yourself?
What I suggest, another habit to get into, is at least 20 minutes per week. Get yourself away from all disturbances, bills on your mind, people talking at you. Just almost go into a state of meditation and think about how you want to be remembered when all is said and done, how you want to finish your career, your business, whatever the case may be. What is your grandest vision to want to have accomplished? And then begin making a plan, working backwards for getting there, maybe a yearly goal and then quarterly, monthly. And start out, when you get down to the weekly and daily goals, start out with the easier steps. And as you quickly accomplish these, you'll be motivated to do maybe the more moderate steps and then take on the more difficult and get paid coaching, whatever the case may be. And as you make progress through the years, you're just going to stay so motivated and inspired, and you'll be wanting to tell other people what you learned and help them. The mantra in my book is, if we each reach out to some type of community, whether it's people coming up behind us, it's a formal community, we can make positive social change impact and make it a better place for future generations to live.
No, I love what you said there, too. Asking that poignant question, what type of legacy am I going to leave? What am I going to be remembered for? And that could be a great impetus to find that passion, that business, that endeavor, that charitable service that will help provide value in your life and meaning. And here's an important point. You know what? I know some of you are listening right now going, well, Mark, I got a job that sucks. I can't quit my job. It's just not going to happen. You know, or I got a business I've been building for years. I just can't change, you know, mid-sentence here and just start over. It's not going to work. I get that. I understand that. But what are you doing with your profits? What are you doing with your free time? What are you doing to have that business or that employment, even though you may not be thrilled with it, are you using it as a stepping stone to make better relationships with others in the community? Are you volunteer? I volunteer with scouting. Many of you know I'm a scoutmaster. I'm planning next month's scout camp out. I'm looking right here across my desk at my Boy Scout handbook. I got a little boy that's sick right now at home. He's one of my scouts, and I saw his dad at the grocery store last night buying cold medicine, and I thought I'm going to stop by and give him a little scouting magazine tonight on my way home. That's what I'm looking forward to today. I mean, it's going to be a hard day. It's going to be a lot of work, but I'm trying to think of what am I going to do after 5 o'clock that's going to provide value to someone else and bring that intrinsic value to my life, and maybe that's half the equation, just finding out what we can do differently?
It makes a huge difference. I know a number of people who, like you said, hate their job. However, they get up early in the morning to work on their own business because they refuse to quit. And then they work at night. A couple people are authors like me. And it gives them balance. It enables them to get up in the morning, go to work. But when they come home to what they love doing, they're happy again. And it just brings balance and peace within. So you're right. You said earlier you have to love what you do, whether it's work or in your own business. But you have to find that special something. And then you are inspired and motivated to keep going.
I know you talk about in the book that your family. How does your family play in this? Being inspired. I mean, trying to inspire your family. It can be sometimes the hardest thing is that we don't get to choose our family. We can choose our friends. We can choose our employees. We can choose our, mentors, but we can't choose our family. How does that play into this? What are your thoughts on that?
Okay, so I have to ask you, are you talking about immediate family or are you talking about extended family?
Well, NR, we all have that brother-in-law, that brother-in-law.
I just have to check.
That Uncle
so let's
Eddie.
Let's talk about our immediate family then. I think when the kids are little, from the time of birth, actually, I read this wonderful book many years ago called Teach Your Baby. And even when they're infants, from right after birth, turn on music, wiggle their toes and fingers to the music, talk to them. Sunday was always family day for my family. Didn't matter what we had going on, we would take off. If we had no money in the early years, we'd go to the beach or to the park. But we spent the time with our family. When they were interested in something, we encouraged them to do it, whatever it was. And we saw a lot of parents who insisted their boys do sports. Well, some boys just aren't good at sports, but maybe they're better, at climbing ropes, so they do gymnastics. One child I know wanted to be a model, and she was very, very shy. So she went into modeling and learned to walk the stage, for a few years, and her confidence built. The whole key, I think, to having successful children is building their confidence, and you do it by spending appropriate time. And, again, it's a sales job. You listen to them and figure out what's best for them, not for you, for the child, because each of us has a special personality, and then they become very successful in their own right.
How do we deal with family members that bring us down, that are sucking out our inspiration?
I hope it's not immediate family. If it's extended, try to spend as little time as possible with them. That's become my mantra. I felt a little guilty at first, but the more I got away from the negative-minded, the happier I became. And my thing in the book is that we each have one life to live, and it's our duty to live it as we see fit. I don't know about you, but I knew a lot of people that were trying to tell me how to live my life, and it just didn't work for me. And moving away or not associating as frequently worked out a whole lot better for me.
No, I can attest to that. I think who we surround ourselves with is going to certainly impact our personality and our spirit each day. In summary here, and what are some of these final tips you might have for us as we go out into our business world and again try to translate this to sales? That was one of the topics that I promulgated here on this email, is that we would create more sales when we create more inspiration and show people how inspired and passionate we are. Let's talk about the numbers. How do I make more money with this mindset?
Well, I do believe I speak about a couple of tripods. The first is yours, the personal tripod, mind, body, and spirit. When you get that in sync, more people are going to be attracted to you and offer you opportunities. When people see you're generous with your information, reaching out to help them, more people are going to be interested in what you have to offer and, again, offer opportunities. The business tripod is belief, vision, and plan. And when you believe in your forthcoming success, you have the plan in place and the vision remains strong and you circle back to the belief, you're going to be successful because you're inspiring yourself to do so. Other people are going to be attracted to how you're doing so well and they're going to want to know your secrets for success and sign up. It's become today, especially with social media, more about attraction sales rather than the old-fashioned push selling. And my favorite quote is, when you combine new age technology with old fashioned etiquette, you have a winning strategy. Mm. So treating everybody with respect, care, telling the truth at all times, knowing your rules for business, you're going to build a fantastic personal brand, which is the first step of really building business. When you've got your personal brand in sync and everybody sees it, then you can go out and do a tremendous branding campaign using all media and medium. And that's what translates into sales.
No, I love it. I love it. I do. It seems intangible, but it's very tangible when you're out interacting with your customers and they can feel it and sense what your marketing is congruent, your message is congruent, and your spirit is congruent. You're telling people, you're walking the walk, for as we all know that phrase, you're walking the walk, and your customers can sense that, and they'll buy in, and they're going to pay, you know, they want to drink your Kool-Aid at that point because they're excited about what you're doing. Well, I really appreciate, Eleanor, you being with us. It's been inspirational for me. You get sick of that, I'm sure, for people using that pun.
No, not at all. Thank you.
Well, and I want to tell all of you out there listening, please don't give up. Don't give up on your dream. If you're in a rut with family or in a rut in a job or in a rut with a business that you feel like you can't get out, don't give up. Find a group of mentors. Talk. Find your passion. Find your mojo. Find what you want to do and slowly incorporate it, even if it's after hours, into your life. Get that passion, and people are going to want to be around you. They're going to buy into that passion. And when you're sold on it, people will feel it, and they're gonna want to get on board. I so much believe that. So, Eleanor, your message is timeless. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I greatly appreciate it.
You're awesome. We'll have you back. Thanks so much. And everyone else out there, please continue to note your calendar. We'll be here every week at 11 a.m. Pacific. Trying to, again, stay inspired, stay focused, building wealth, saving taxes, and making the world a better place for all of us. So hang in there, and I'll see you next week on another episode of The Mark Kohler Show at 11 a.m. Pacific. Thanks so much.
Thanks for listening to another hour of refreshing strategies to better live your American dream.
Don't forget to get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.